WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. White House Budget Office has told agencies to come up with mass firing plans in the event of a government shutdown next week. Top Democrats still urging the president to return to the negotiating table. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
Democrats are ready, willing, and able to sit down with anyone, at any place, at any time, to avoid the Republican-caused government shutdown.
Sources tell CBS News federal prosecutors will decide on criminal charges against former FBI Director James Comey before the statute of limitations expires next week. Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
Trump allies have accused Comey of lying to Congress 5 years ago this month when his testimony conflicted with other witnesses.
A rap mogul scheduled to appear at court in New York ahead of next week's sentencing, legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Sean Combs' lawyers will argue today that the sex acts performed by his two former girlfriends were consensual.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
For WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Shali Pittman, filling in for Melissa Kay. The end of September means it's time for the 52nd Cranberry Festival in Warrens. The Cranfest kicks off tomorrow and runs through the weekend, rain or shine. Grant Holly is executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association, an industry org that turns 138 this year. Holly tells Civic Media the festival happens just ahead of the traditional time for cranberry harvest, but hybrids have loosened when the harvest can happen.
So we have these hybrids now, and we have hybrids that will start producing their berries that are ready to be harvested right around the second week of September. And then we have hybrids that will delay so that we can go almost all the way to hunting season.
This year's harvest is still different.
We are moving a little bit faster this year than we have before. This warm weather during harvest is kind of unheard of. And we're learning how to deal with it. But one of the pieces that it has done is we have growers that are out there for 14, 16 hours a day bringing in their berries because we need to bring them in now.
The Cranberry Festival runs Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., rain or shine. And Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher is putting the spotlight on our aging roads. He and community leaders say roads need a more sustainable funding solution. They argue that while the budget has some gains for roads, its structure pits funding against each other and favors temporary fixes over solutions. It's part of the Revitalize campaign led by the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and the Transportation Development Association. They're headed to other communities for the same campaign. For WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Shali Pittman. More news anytime at WIRI.FM and WFHR.com.
The Brewers return home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers are back to host the Reds tomorrow night. They beat the Padres 3-1 to finish the regular season with the most wins on the road, 45. Jackson Chourio, though, just 1-for-4 at the plate. Pat Murphy.
He's had some not-so-good at-bats where he leaves his zone and chases down especially or chases up. As young as he is, hopefully he learns it.
NFL, it's the Packers and the Cowboys in Dallas on Sunday night. I asked Micah Parsons if he's ever spoken to Cowboys owner Jerry Jones since being traded to Green Bay.
Nah, I mean, I never even heard from Jerry Jones himself when I even got traded. I found out through my agent. Like, I haven't talked to Jerry Jones since, like, what, OTAs?
Jones on The Fan in Dallas.
Jerry, do you think with the Micah deal that you let your money get mad and it just became a little bit too personal versus a football decision?
Absolutely not. Not at all. It was nothing personal. I told you I like Micah.
That's Cowboys owner Jerry Jones with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 74 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the low to mid 50s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunshine, low to mid 70s with this sunny, dry trend continuing through the weekend and most of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Jimmy Kimmel is back on Late Night. Keegan Kelly is in from crack.com to tell us what it means moving forward, and we'll recombobulate with Dan Schaefer. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here in Madison, not the Lake Wissota studios. I guess we could call them, Parker Olson's here with me as well. Is it the Lake Monona studio, the Lake Mendota studio? I mean, we're on the isthmus here, so I don't know which lake is technically closer to us.
I don't know. We could say
the isthmus studios, but then the newspaper people would get mad at us.
Yeah, they'll probably get annoyed, yeah. I would probably go with Mendota.
Okay, from our Lake Mendota studios, welcome to Studio A2. Brittany Merlot, meteorologist, is here as well to talk about the weather. But first, Brittany, can you believe we're in the same room, Parker and I?
No. I can't even believe it. It doesn't look like it, first of all. Right? I'm jealous.
I know. It's quite the party here. See,
I'm
over here.
Parker turned his camera.
On the camera that you got out of a Cracker Jack box or something like that.
Pretty close.
It always looks like Parker has jaundice or something. And meanwhile.
I can't even argue. Yeah.
Both Luke Mathers and Todd Alba, apparently I badgered them a lot about the video quality coming out of this place. I know it's a radio show, but if you're going to stream video, you know,
right.
You should put a little effort behind it. They put a lot of effort behind it. I mean, this thing is so Vegas looking behind me. I am waiting for a cocktail. What John or Gordy should be dressed up as a cocktail waitress and offer to serve me something before I go watch Dean Martin and Don Rickles perform in the lounge down here. This is a wild setup.
It's very bright.
It is very bright. I am very complimented and more than a little intimidated at, you know, what they're able to pull off when you just say, hey, can we just not have a blank wall behind me? It's like, all right, Kreitlow, how about this? A little bit of overkill. I like it. Hey, coming up in just a moment, we haven't forgotten, it's our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. That keyword is coming up shortly, but we've kept Brittany waiting long enough, so y'all keep waiting for that keyword. It is coming. But first, Brittany, as I was driving down yesterday from Chippewa Falls, and it timed out perfectly. I got in the Jeep right when the Brewer game was starting because they had afternoon baseball, and got here just as it was over. It was such a gorgeous, sunny drive. We don't have the fall colors thing going yet, but I really could not argue otherwise with what we had, how much of that carries over into today and beyond.
Oh, so much of it. We have a beautiful forecast. Once we get through this fog, a lot of thick fog scattered throughout the state this morning. Dense in places, less than a mile visibility. So if you still have somewhere to go, still trying to get to work, leave early, drive slow, be safe out there. It is pretty thick in spots. That will lift by 9 o'clock this morning, that dense fog advisory from Ashland to Green Bay, and of course, north and east of that area. The rest of the state, though, just patchy spots of it, especially in those low-lying river areas. Otherwise, a bright and beautiful day, mostly sunny once again, highs in the low to mid-70s. A few of us will hit some upper 70s today. And then we push repeat for tomorrow. We get even warmer into the weekend, where down south, you're going to be hitting 80 degrees, up north, upper 70s. We hold that trend for the entire weekend into next week. I was trying to find rain in the forecast. It doesn't look like it's going to be here until next weekend. So we've got a long, dry stretch of a ton of sunshine. Gorgeous.
So the top might come down off the Jeep for a time.
Yeah, for a week straight, you can pull it off, Pat. All right. I'm going
to
do it.
All right. Well, good. That's good to know. From Robbie says, good morning from Tigerton. It is foggy and 52 degrees. The visibility in Tigerton is a mile. So Pat's Chippewa Valley fog that they've had the last few mornings made it to Tigerton today. I'm not sure fog commutes like that, but I get the sentiment.
I like to think that it does.
Yeah, well, yeah, in some horror movies, you know, the blob, you know. Yep. Let's see, Rob mowed 5 yards in the Tigerton and Wittenberg areas yesterday. The weather was beautiful. Today he's got 5 lawns to mow, so he's going to be busy. Yesterday had a cheeseburger lunch at Rachel's Roadside. Pat, Brittany, and everyone out there, you have to stop at Rachel's Roadside in Wittenberg for their great food. Well, that's awfully nice. Tony, commenting on the background here, says the natural light in Pat's home office can't be matched. That's true. Yeah. That's the one nice thing I got going. But then he goes on to say, if we're talking backgrounds, I'm still missing behind Parker the Dear Leader portrait of the handsome and capable Luke Mathers. We did talk about that. Where's the portrait of Luke looking over your shoulder?
We should do that, actually. That would be pretty easy to do. You know what would be easier to do?
What?
Is we could get a slide and put it on the little TV behind
you. Put it on the
TV
behind you here?
Yeah.
Yes, we could do that. Actually, what I'd like to do, but it might come off mean, so I'm going to go ahead and spoil it right now.
Oh, boy.
Is that we come out to a 3-shot like this sometime, and you've got a portrait of Luke over your shoulder, and there's one over my shoulder, and there's one over Brittany's shoulder. It just completely has that Dear Leader look to it. Oh, that would be... It would all be in good fun, Mr. Mathers. Just I want to make sure that I emphasize that. So.
Oh, he says no, period.
Oh, okay.
Well, come on, Luke.
Dang it.
That's why he's the boss. Brittany, thank you so much. We'll talk to you in the next hour.
Sounds good.
All right. Remember, sign up for those newsletters that we put out at Up North News by heading over to upnorthnewswi.com. We have a weekday version. We have a Sunday morning version that focuses on politics, including our question of the week. And then Civic Media has a brand new newsletter. And I mean, it is a good looking newsletter, really worth taking a peek at. Head to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com for that. I guess it's time for a keyword here. I've kept everybody waiting long enough over
here.
Let's have a little fun with these keywords. Good. All right. It is time. Oh, look at that. That little music there. I like it.
I do kind of think it sounds like a monkey every now and then. I don't really know what that's about, but...
Time for the day's first round of the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Green and gold. You can get cash and jewelry. Do that through the Civic Media app. Look up one of the stations. Use the text button for this 7 a.m. hour. You have to text us this hour's keyword before 8 a.m. There are 7 chances to win throughout the day. Different keywords each time, so you can enter up to 7 times a day. Of all the day's entries in this multi-station, multi-state game, one lucky winner will get $200 cash, that's the green, and a gold-plated chain. And then one really lucky winner from all the entries for the whole two-week contest will win the grand prize of 2 club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay versus Minnesota. Play a little football, a Green Bay home game on November 23rd at noon, plus a gas card to get you to the game. Total value of this grand prize package is more than $1,500. Full contest rules at civicmedia.us. All right, here is this hour's keyword to text us before 8 a.m. Fall. Not autumn, it's fall. F-A-L-L. The word is fall, y'all. F-A-L-L. Your next chance to enter will be during the 9 o'clock hour of Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach. So, go for the green and gold before 8 o'clock today and send us the keyword fall. There. How simple was that? Parker, we've had non-perfect shows, right? We've had days where you didn't have to jump up that quickly, but, you know, we've had our rough patches.
We've had a hiccup or so.
Have we ever caused 10,000 gallons of wastewater to be dumped into Lake Michigan?
Not that I'm aware of.
I mean, metaphorically, perhaps, but not quite literally. No. The story from Caitlin Luby in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, employee error causes wastewater overflow that dumped 10,000 gallons into Lake Michigan. Apparently, it happened during a shift change. Not sure where the miscommunication occurred, but an employee observed wastewater overtopping the emergency overflow structure at their South Shore facility on September 23rd. Let's see. The overflow lasted about 30 minutes, and there is potential for human exposure through recreational use of the waterway. Apparently, too much water came through a gate when it shouldn't have, and untreated wastewater overtopped an emergency barrier there. Corrective actions were taken as soon as it was discovered. Oops.
Whoops. Yes. I mean, in essence, oops.
I mean, every job has those things that you could do. That to me is a pretty big one. That's on par with like Homer Simpson working at a nuclear power plant, you know, and hitting a particular button.
Yeah.
So it raises this question.
Oh boy.
What have you done?
What have I done?
Well, and I'm talking to the listeners.
Oh.
Yeah. What have you done?
I thought I screwed up and you were trying to get me there. Okay.
Tell us a story about something that you've done or a coworker, but you got to, you know, protect people. We're not here to slander people or get them in trouble, so you got to be nice about it. And mine isn't anywhere on par with, you know, 10,000 gallons of wastewater. But in this business, it is very possible to say the wrong thing and to have to then apologize on air. And I did that once in my first radio job out of college.
Ooh.
Where somebody told me a story about something that had happened to their car in a car wash.
Sure.
And it was a funny story. I'm not even going to bore you with the details, but it seemed funny. But I thought, well, you know, I'll try to make it as generic as possible. Well, needless to say, the owner of the local car wash heard the story and, you know, construed it in a way that all the listeners would know that it was the local car wash, despite my attempts to say otherwise. And I got to say, that's the only time I've truly cheesed off a sponsor and got read the riot act. And I mean, truly read the riot act and having to apologize on air the next day. Now, there are a lot worse things that can happen in this business. There's naughty words and there's, you know, slander and getting your facts wrong and all of that. So I feel very fortunate that way. But, you know, again, it's not 10,000 gallons of sewage. So, and we can't even ask you, Mr. Parker, to make a confession because, I mean, this is kind of early in your career and, you know, you can't.
I'm trying to think of anything that I did in college. I don't really know of anything.
You told me there were like super issues, you know, where you put like the wrong word on screen or something like that.
I don't know.
Tony asking, how big are those FCC fines again? Well, yeah, that's why we.
Let's not talk about
that. Yeah, let's see. Alicia, Navy vet, says she was on the flight deck 2005 moving jets. I was in the cockpit. The yellow shirt on the deck pulled an ordnance pin that had flares attached. Arming the flares near the tail hook almost took out two sailors working on the tail hook. Yeah, see, that's a story right there.
That's worse than anything we've probably done.
Haven't taken out sailors, haven't blown up a plane, anything like that. Tony reminds us that Parker's still on probation, isn't he? He can't really incriminate himself.
How do you know
yet.
About that, Tony? I thought that the background check was confidential.
I know, but everybody knows you're still relatively new here. So remind me of this next week when John and Gordy are on, because John and Gordy have been involved in broadcasting for something like 78 years, and I'm sure that they've got some stories to tell as well. So we'll look forward to that. Anyway, and you can continue to share your stories. Either get in the comment sections of Facebook or YouTube for either Up North News or for Civic Media, or use the Civic Media app. Or best of all, if you're able to, get over to the Civic Media app and use the voice note feature and tell us the story.
Yeah.
I'd love to get more people using that voice note feature and tell us what happened. Now, obviously, we'll have to make sure that there isn't anything slander, libelous, anything like that. But tell us a story about a big time goof at work. We'd love to hear that. Coming up, we're going to be talking to State Democratic Party Chair Devin Remiker about a very busy 2026 campaign season that is already underway. We're part of America's Up North wherever we are in Wisconsin, including here in Madison, live. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
And welcome back to our true crime podcast. Our guest today is Sean Cleary.
Wait, what? We are supposed to be doing a commercial about Cleary's storage, egg, and sports facilities.
Great point, Sean. It was a warm summer evening in 1978 when a young man with a hammer...
Whoa, again, not a true crime podcast. I want to talk about Cleary designing the building of your dreams.
In a world where things aren't what they seem.
Okay, give me that. Good grief. Visit clarybuilding.com today and experience the Cleary difference.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. President Donald Trump's March 25th executive order on elections, attempting to override the U.S. Constitution's grant of election authority to states and Congress, has so far been blocked by 4 of 5 lawsuits filed against it. A ruling in one of those cases, September 17th, allows a challenge from 19 states to move forward. The executive order would withhold federal funding from any state which does not implement the use of the National Voter Registration Form and mandate proof of citizenship documents, including a birth certificate, naturalization papers, a Real ID compliant driver's license, or a U.S. passport. It would also end mail-in ballot grace periods, restrict ballot deadlines to Election Day, and withholds federal grants if they don't. States challenging the order include California, Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Nevada, Massachusetts, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Wisconsin. U.S. District Court Judge Denise Casper issued a stay on Trump's order in June, saying the states had demonstrated a substantial risk that citizens would be disenfranchised. Her September 17th ruling confirms that the states have legal standing to contest the president's order and that they would be harmed, particularly by the withholding of Help America Vote Act funding. We've linked to the order and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
We're, you know, looking at addressing potential issues, and the cost savings by doing it up front is just huge compared to what you have to go through after the fact, if there is an issue in place.
And it's a great segue into what I wanted to ask next. In part, you know, we do this show for our listeners and everything. Every once in a while, there's something that I'm saying directly to my father. And while my dad doesn't have a well, if he did, I would have to remind him that he should not try to tackle it himself. He should not try to fix... Duct tape is not going to fix this one, Jim.
No.
It's not going to do it.
And that's hilarious because I actually know a specific well that I drive by every day on the way to work that has got duct tape wrapped around it. So I have got this mental picture of exactly what you're talking about in my head. No, wells are one of those things. Like, I appreciate DIY to your heart's content. Wells are one of those things. If you do have an issue, don't fix it yourself. Don't try. This is a place for licensed professionals to do. In fact, every time you open up a well cap, you're really running the risk of introducing bacteria. And so, and the state actually has a rule in place that if that well cap is opened and work is done on the well, they have to be doing a test
for
bacteria and stuff afterwards. And while there really probably isn't going to be somebody checking up to make sure that's done, it's a great rule of thumb. Just because, you know, it is something that you're directly consuming. And so really for your own safety, that's best left left to the professionals.
And when you do have well problems, reaching out to our DNR, reaching out to is there certain places we should go?
Yeah. So two great resources. DNR maintains a list of certified well professionals across the entire state. If you want something locally, the Wood County Planning and Zoning Office also maintains a list of well professionals that work in the area commonly. So both great resources to go to find those folks.
Speaking with our good friend Jen McNally from UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Jen, you mentioned this a little bit before, that this is also a good time to be checking our septics and some of that.
Yeah. So, you know, septic maintenance is required and an inspection is required every 3 years by the county and state. So just making sure that you're on that routine of maintaining your septic system and having it inspected. If you're not sure where you are, you can call the Planning and Zoning Office and they can let you know where you're at in that inspection process. And then if you have a septic tank, you should be having that pumped routinely as well. So I do think it's ironic that we're sponsored by Crockett Septic today. So it's a great reminder.
It's wonderful. That's what. Well done. Well done by you.
As well, which is great.
And what a cool resource that they're able to help you, like especially if you're a new owner of a home or something. Yeah. And that's just one of those bits of information that got lost in the shuffle, that they're able to help you know, hey, we were able to check it two years ago or whatever it might be.
Yeah, exactly. And know where you're at, because that is one of those things, especially if you're not used to having a septic in a well. That can be a pretty steep learning curve for folks to try and figure out and find information. DNR, Department of Health Services, all have great basic information on how to learn about mm-hmm. both your septic and your well, which I encourage people to do, to take the time. They're pretty cool systems.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
So. And as far as things to look for when checking it out, the cracks or that, yep. that might be in place or something like that?
Yep. You want to just, you know, for both wells and septics, again, cracks, anything that looks like it's damaged, making sure that caps and lids are in place and like your septic tank lid is locked down. That's required in state statute. If you do stumble across something, it is not uncommon, especially in our rural areas, to stumble across an old septic system mm-hmm. or an old well that's no longer being used. And those things, in that case, we really want to make sure that we're getting those taken care of and out of the landscape. So for wells, we want to make sure that they're properly filled and sealed. Wells are like an unused well without a well cap. Just think about it. It's an open pipe. It's a direct conduit right down to your drinking water or local water resources. And so the possibilities for contamination really significantly increase. And frankly, the same thing happens for like an unused septic system, an unused tank. I mean, we still have in certain situations, pit wells, not only the risk for contamination, some of those larger cisterns that are out there are really kind of dangerous for folks too. And so that same list of certified well professionals are going to have folks that can fill and seal those wells as well. And the cool thing when it comes to like filling and sealing wells, the County Land Conservation Department actually occasionally, depending on the budget, has money to cost share that because it's considered a best management practice. Mm-hmm. So if it's something you stumble across on your property and like, look, I really want to get this taken care of, definitely reach out to the Wood County Land and Water Conservation Department. Or if you're in a different county listening, reach out to your own land conservation department, because there may be funds available to help mm-hmm. pay for that. Which is really cool.
It's awesome that they're doing it. Very smart that they're doing that. It's really cool to hear. And something that always good to remind people about, especially I don't know that that's common knowledge either. Another one of those bits of information I was talking about. Are there signs or indications of an unused well that we should keep an eye out for?
Yeah, absolutely. So obvious one, pipe sticking out of the ground that you don't know what the heck they go to. That's usually a good one.
We've all seen that.
On old farms, a lot of times the old windmills that you see, those are usually connected to a well of some sort, because those windmills were used to help pump the water out of the ground.
Yeah.
So that's usually a good telltale sign.
Just between you and I just learned that.
See,
I did not
there
know
you
that.
Go,
oh my
right?
gosh, that's
so
awesome.
Now you're going to be driving around all over the place and be like, hey, I bet I know what that's for.
Yep.
Right? Old buildings, houses, they typically have a well associated with them. So if it's an abandoned, building of some sort on your property, definitely check it out. Depressions in the ground. And then if you stumble across like a concrete tank or vault or pit, sometimes they have like lumber or metal that's been dragged over the top of them. Or even what I've seen too in certain cases is almost like a depression or a sinkhole, and people can't figure out why the land is like subsiding or sinking there. We don't naturally really have sinkholes in this area. So if that's occurring, there's usually a sign that there's something underground buried there. Great example of this is in Portage County, right by the county building. Their parking lot actually had a sinkhole.
Wow.
Come to find out.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
A lot of Wisconsin farmers frustrated that China still is not engaging in our markets. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's influencing agribusiness trade today. Well, some Midwest lawmakers don't want to wait for negotiations. They want to try to take matters into their own hands. So a group of lawmakers met with a senior trade negotiator from China. Arlen Suderman, chief economist of commodities for StoneX, talks about the potential ramifications of that meeting that took place on Monday.
Yeah, it's unclear who initiated the conversation, whether it was Midwest politicians and industry representatives or whether it was China's lead negotiator who did so. But nonetheless, there are reports that they did have a meeting. I'm assuming a virtual meeting, because I think any physical meeting would have had more reports around it. Whether there was progress made in that or not is unclear. There certainly are some indications that perhaps China would like to see some type of an agreement.
Arlen Suderman, he's a chief commodities analyst with StoneX. He says right now it appears China's economy needs a boost. That's part of the reason why these conversations were initiated. Did the conversations help? We'll take a look at where numbers stand going into a Thursday trade session. That's next.
Next on our Corn Hall of Fame tour, Pioneer brand PowerCore and List Corn.
Ooh, look at all the trophies.
Yes. PowerCore Enlist beats competitors with a 7.7 bushel per acre yield advantage. Three distinct modes of pest control action and unsurpassed herbicide flexibility mean above ground pests and weeds can't win.
But what if they try?
They wouldn't dare.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is building strong farms for a strong future right here in America's Dairyland. Join them and Pam Yonke at World Dairy Expo on October 1st and 2nd at 1 p.m. at booths 3403 and 3404 in the Exhibition Hall.
Axiota Animal Health is focused on science-based solutions for dairy animal health. Multimin 90 provides a blend of injectable vitamins. Lactopro helps support high-energy diets. Learn more about Axiota on Thursday, October 2nd at 9:30 a.m. or visit axiota.com.
Barrel cheese on Wednesday went up 3.5 cents to 164.5. 40-pound block cheese was a penny stronger at 164, but the AA butter dropped 6 cents to 162 a pound. Now, early this morning, our October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, down 11 right now, 16.93 a hundredweight. Currently, December new crop corn is up a penny and a half at 426. November new crop soybeans are up 5.5 cents at 1015. Currently, July new crop wheat up 2.5 at 563 a bushel. Maybe inspired in part by that conversation with China. That's a quick update on where the markets stand on a Thursday morning. I'm PM Yankee. Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 74 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the low to mid 50s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunshine, low to mid 70s with this sunny, dry trend continuing through the weekend and most of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Broadcasting live from the Reisinger family Hilltop Farm. We talk to the Reisingers about their family farming tradition, the Farmer Angel Network about the mental health crisis impacting agricultural communities, and last, the Wisconsin Farmers Union.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Coming to you live on this Thursday from Madison Studio A2, I'm Pat Kreitlow, Parker Olson here producing. We'll talk to Devin Remiker, State Democratic Party Chair, in just a sec. First, a reminder that the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest is going on, as it does every morning in the 7 o'clock hour this week and next week. So you have until 8 o'clock to text us the keyword FALL, F-A-L-L, before 8 o'clock. Then there will be more chances throughout the day to text keywords in, and so you can get multiple entries for the daily prize, which is some cash and some jewelry, and the grand prize, which is some very coveted football tickets. So FALL, F-A-L-L, is what you want to text before 8 o'clock. All right, we've talked about a couple of political matters today, obviously, already, not just the political violence in Dallas from yesterday that I mentioned in our previous segment, but the entry of Congressman Tom Tiffany into the governor's race, his attempt to shift his stance on abortion, and also the fact that 2026 is going to be one busy year, not just the general election, but there will be primaries in many districts, congressional districts, legislative districts, governor, and more. So it's a lot of plates to keep spinning if you're the state party chair. And yet Devin Remiker signed up for the gig, and so here he is joining us now. Devin, it's nice to have you here. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Pat. Appreciate it.
Let's start first with an overview. You succeeded Ben Wickler, not that terribly long ago. So what do you think of the job so far? This is your chance to say, my God, what have I done? Get me out of here.
Well, I'm really enjoying it. Thankfully, having worked with Ben and even Chair Martha Lanning before him, I very much knew what I was signing up for. It's obviously been an action-packed first 3 months on the job, starting July 1st, between the state budget, the federal budget, the governor's announcement that he's not seeking re-election, and our growing crop of fantastic nominees for governor and offices all around the state. So I'm just really excited to be able to keep up the fight, proud to have continued our success on many fronts, including beating the state Republican Party 3-1 on the latest finance report in August.
Oh, there you go. See, there's plenty of enthusiasm already, as seen not just in those contributions, but in candidates as well. So we will get to that, but I think we'll probably go in order of how I introduce the segment here. So let's start with the political violence of Dallas, and of course other recent events as well. And in my mind, from a Wisconsin standpoint, you can't talk about the reaction to political violence without talking about the, shall we say, emotionally supercharged and threatening tweets from Congressman Derek Van Orden. But then you had, responses from the president and vice president of the United States yesterday. And so I'd kind of like to start with your own reaction to what you believe political figures from both parties ought to be saying when we have episodes of political violence like this in our country.
So when the tragic shooting of Charlie Kirk happened, I spoke out very quickly and clearly, calling for folks to turn down the rhetoric and the temperature. I genuinely believe that political violence has no place in our dialogue and in our political system. Unfortunately, what we have seen are folks like Derek Van Orden fanning the flames with very, very inflammatory rhetoric. I think he was up to over 700 tweets, doing everything from calling for basically another civil war to threaten you to take away funding from the Mayo Clinic and the City of Eau Claire and Ellsworth within his own district, along with hospital networks. It is absolutely deranged what he is doing. You know, even yesterday, he was threatening to hold the Wisconsin Democratic Party legally accountable. And we have Vice President J.D. Vance basically telling at least half of the country's population that they can go straight to hell. It is really sad. It is really unfortunate. And I think that we have the opportunity to turn the page on this divisive rhetoric, this inflammatory rhetoric in 2026. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity to do that.
Now, you know, Jimmy Kimmel is not the most important political figure today, but his return to TV yesterday told me, or the day before, I should say, told me that there may be a turn that's being made, a pivot in terms of the recognition of ordinary Americans that, yeah, they're used to political back and forth, but there's something in this particular case about, you know, taking a talk show host off the air for things that he said. There were plenty of conservatives that came to Jimmy Kimmel's defense as well. I wonder if you sense that in the general public, or is this kind of a one-off and it'll quickly be forgotten until the next time Donald Trump and his FCC chair and others try to restrict people's First Amendment rights?
I don't think it'll be easily forgotten. I think this was a wake-up call for a lot of people. You know, the silencing of free speech by conservatives was really pushed in the last few weeks, and it really culminated with the taking off the air of Jimmy Kimmel. I think that when folks are trying to stop people from speaking out, that is the time to speak louder than before. I think a lot of people heard that loud and clear. And it also laid bare a lot of the Republican hypocrisy on this issue. I almost feel bad for some of the folks that have to clean up for Donald Trump sometimes, but they were spending weeks, or a week rather, saying that, you know, this was a business decision, that he, you know, the government had nothing to do with it. And then Donald Trump just goes out and tweets that, you know, he's going to take another run at ABC to try to get Kimmel off the air. I mean, it's very clear what he's doing. He's weaponizing the federal government to silence his dissent and to silence critics in his political opposition. And I think that that is a very stark and important moment for our country to take note of. I certainly don't think this is going to be the last time we see something like that out of the administration. And it makes our fight back all the more important.
We're talking to Devin Remiker. He's the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And there are already multiple Democratic candidates running for governor. But we're going to start on the Republican side, where they now have their first, you know, marquee name, perhaps only their only one. I don't know who all will potentially come in and run for governor on the Republican side. But Congressman Tom Tiffany is a big name. But what's your assessment of him as a potential nominee when defending the governor's race next year?
Well, whether it's supporting the GOP's and Donald Trump's tariffs, taxes on working class Wisconsinites, taking away health care from working class Wisconsinites, he's been in lockstep with the administration every step of the way. And I think Tom Tiffany is somebody who we look at as just another stooge, a MAGA loyalist that is going to put Washington, D.C. And Donald Trump before Washington County and the rest of Wisconsin. And at the end of the day, I'm really looking forward to making sure every single Wisconsinite knows his track record. We're able to hold him accountable. I think he's going to try to moderate himself, as we always see Republicans do in these races. And we're not going to let him get away with it. We're going to make sure everyone knows Tariff Tom's real record of devastating working class Wisconsinites.
And one of those examples that I think folks noticed pretty quickly deals with women's reproductive health rights, where, you know, he has sponsored bills that would amount to total abortion bans, but is currently using some interesting verbal gymnastics to talk about, you know, supporting and maintaining the state's current 20-week law. But much like Scott Walker with Act 10 and with union busting laws, much like, I don't know, Supreme Court justices and Roe v. Wade, there seems to me to be a kind of a trustworthy factor when it comes to Tom Tiffany trying to pretend that he would not push for a 6-week or total abortion ban if he were to get elected.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, We have seen time and time again that Republicans say one thing to get elected and do another. They consistently betray their constituents and the promises that they make on the campaign trail. Whether it's one of the examples you just gave, whether it was Scott Walker kind of putting out an ad that indicated he was a little bit more friendly on choice and then immediately moving an abortion ban once again in the state of Wisconsin when he was elected. The core of it is that Tom Tiffany supported a 6-week abortion ban during his time in Congress. He supported the bans that Republicans tried to move when he was in the state legislature. And we have also seen him help support Donald Trump's betrayal of his promises and the Republican Party's promises in 2024. They said they weren't going to touch people's Medicare, that they were going to stay away from Social Security. And we saw in the wake of the last budget being passed that, you know, Trump officials commented that this is a backdoor for them to privatize Social Security. You simply cannot trust these individuals, and you can't trust them. Tom might end up right alongside Toxic Tom and Tariff Tom, because it is a common theme.
We're talking to Devin Remiker. He's the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, the Democratic Party attracting a lot of candidates already for governor. That's not unexpected, but also multiple candidates in a couple of congressional districts, the 3rd district in Western Wisconsin, the 8th district in Northeast Wisconsin. And now there are multiple Democrats running in some legislative races that have announced already. So, Devin, you've worked with the party for many years. You're the new chair, but you've seen more than your share of primaries. What's your overview of not just the role of the state party, but frankly, there are a lot of county parties out there that, you know, the people kind of come and go in leadership positions. So what is it that you want people to know about how state and county parties treat primaries as we head into a very busy season before August of next year?
Absolutely. So primaries, from my personal perspective and what I bring into the role at the party, is that they're a healthy process. They are a way for candidates to be able to share their vision, ideas, and for the party to align around what our future is and what we're looking for out of the next generation of leadership. And I think right now, when there's a lot of folks that are trying to figure out what that looks like for the Democratic Party, both in Wisconsin and across the country, I think this is a really important process. I think what doesn't help the process is the party having its thumb on the scale. So the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, our county parties, our congressional district parties, all of our other units, we're going to be neutral in the governor's race, in congressional district primaries, in state legislative primaries. And I think that's really important. One of the quirks of Wisconsin is that we have a very late primary. It's going to be on August 11th next year, which gives us 84 days between the primary and the general election. And what we can have are folks that have hurt feelings because a thumb was on the scale or they feel like they didn't get a fair shake. I think an important part to having that process play out is making sure that folks do get that fair shake in the fair process and the party isn't favoring one person or the other, because we all have to come together within that 84-day window to go towards success. And we can't do that if we're working through hurt feelings.
I've got about a minute left just to ask you, in terms of the governor's race, that the state Democratic Party is already thinking about how best to assist whoever the nominee turns out to be during those 84 days. What is it that you're doing to help ensure a strong nominee?
Yeah, I'm really excited. We're partnering with the outgoing governor, Tony Evers, to have the Governor Readiness Project, which is a all hands on deck effort to make sure that although we are neutral in these primaries, we're not just sitting on our hands until the primary is over. We're going to be focusing on holding the Republicans accountable and making sure that whoever our nominee is on election night, on August 11th, they have the team, the resources, and an already weakened opponent so that we can maximize those 84 days. It is going to be unprecedented in scope and scale, and I am really excited to be able to spend our time focusing on holding Tariff Tom accountable for devastating working Wisconsin families all the way in the run-up till August 11th.
State Democratic Party Chair Devin Remiker, it is great for you to take some time this morning to talk with us, give us a campaign update. We'll visit again soon. Have a great day.
Thank you very much, Pat. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you so much. One more reminder before we head to break that we have our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. And again, you only have until 8 o'clock to text us the word fall, F-A-L-L. There will be more chances to win starting in the 9 a.m. hour, Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach, and then more chances beyond that to win a daily prize and a grand prize of football tickets to one of the biggest games of the season. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Joe Zepecki in our next hour.
as Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
When your reputation's on the line, you don't leave anything to chance, especially your primer. Painter's Trust Kills Primers for a smooth start, strong adhesion, and serious stain-blocking power. And now, the full Kills lineup is available exclusively at the Home Depot. Need it fast? Get same-day or next-day delivery, or order online and pick up in-store. Kills Primers. Pro results, faster. The Home Depot. If you're a pro, you know.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
And welcome back to our true crime podcast. Our guest today is Sean Cleary.
Wait, what? We are supposed to be doing a commercial about Cleary's storage, ag, and sports facilities.
Great point, Sean. It was a warm summer evening in 1978 when a young man with a hammer...
Whoa, again, not a true crime podcast. I want to talk about Cleary designing the building of your dreams.
In a world where things aren't what they seem.
Okay, give me that. Good grief. Visit ClaryBuilding.com today and experience the Cleary difference.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Have you read or listened to any good mysteries lately? Would you like to know more about the people who write them? Listen to Masters of Mystery on WFHR Sunday, September 28th at 9 p.m. as host Rob Young converses with John Gaspard, writer of magic-filled mysteries, and professional actor turned audiobook narrator Jim Cunningham as they discuss Gaspard's novels and their journey from written word to audiobook.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. For this September 24th, 2025, I have your host, James, here. Hope you all are having a great day out there. It's about to get a lot better because we are bringing in our good friends from the ODC. We've got Ann Lee Peck with us. Ann, always good to see you.
Good to see you.
And Ashley Nickel with us. Ashley, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Thanks for being here. We appreciate you guys being here and certainly where we get to start our topics. And by now, you know, I love October. I love Halloween. We get to start with Haunted House. And something that Seth and I were talking about on our morning show and just kind of the conversation continued afterwards, where you hope for things and, you know, oh, you guys come up with this idea and you're going to bring it to the audience, to the community here and everything. And then all of a sudden it happens, and the response that you guys have gotten from this, it has just risen up and up in the last couple of years that you've done it. I just before we get into some of the things about it, how great is it in that building when this comes up and you guys are talking about this haunted house and the way the community has responded to it?
Yeah, well, it's actually, it's amazing because we've been working on it basically since we ended last year, and so really trying to keep it fresh and change up the theme a bit. But yeah, we are just so thankful for the community that comes out every year. And then this year, we actually had a great response from some businesses to offer some volunteer help as well. So over the last couple of years, there's been kind of a small core group that put it together, and it's a daunting task. And so we are really are fortunate to have a lot of our community members and business partners helping us this year. So we're really grateful for that.
Part of what I think is made this popular is one, and certainly noteworthy, how exciting and fun it is, and the fact of some of the things you just said there, the, you know, looking to make it better and improvements, and, you know, just people just genuinely enjoying a good haunted house and the great work that everybody does with that. But something also about this, and you mentioned it right there about volunteers and people donating items, and not every haunted house can you go through and have that feel. There is the, you know, local, plenty of local great haunted houses and everything. This one really has a local feel to it. It really does have the fingerprints of the community on it. And I think that's part of what pulls people to it as well. You have to have both. You know, if it was one of the things that I think that is exciting about this is that part, though, that you can not only be involved in this and have something, maybe an item, maybe you're volunteering, but then, of course, enjoy the haunted house itself.
Absolutely.
It's a really unique opportunity for the community and for people. So we want to remind everybody that we are looking for a certain item still.
Yep. We're looking for not only volunteers, but so just to give you an idea of volunteers, and this isn't number of people, but it's number of spots. We're actually going to start, we're going to have the whole week prior to be able to set up. And so we actually have like 400 and some slots for volunteer opportunities, and we have about 250 filled. So we have, you know, there's certainly some needs for prior to the event with setup. If people want to take a section and help with just setting up a section, they can do that. And then also, of course, during the days of the haunted house. And then also the teardown, after the haunted house is over. So there's a lot of different opportunities for people to get involved in whatever way works for them. So if people are interested, they should reach out to us. We are also looking for a couple of items if people are interested in offering those to support the haunted house. Of course, we're looking for candy so we can give those out, give that out to the kids. We go through a lot of AA batteries, so those would be helpful. Black duct tape. We're looking for 20 by 12 tarps, command hooks, and then also 11-inch black zip ties. So if anybody has any interest in helping to support with some of those items, that would be great. Again, just reach out to us. We will have some of this on our Facebook page as well. So there's lots of ways to get involved and to help support. And then, of course, we're hoping the community is going to come out and go through the haunted house.
I appreciate the details and the look behind the curtain with that a little bit, because I think not only does that bring people's attention and bring them to want to volunteer and help, but the descriptions you give and everything, we've got a community filled with people that love to work with their hands. And just as much love to see what they've done afterwards and everything. I've worked in a lot of construction, a lot of different construction companies in this community, and I know a lot of different individuals out there that are just fit this bill. Mm-hmm. We're calling on all of you, all hands on deck. Not only will you be able to help out one of our great local nonprofits that does such great impact in this community, but you're a part of something that's really fun. Not everybody gets to work on a haunted house. Not everybody gets to see how the sausage is made, kind of, and all that. Right. I think there's something very exciting and fun about that. Just you talking about it got me all intrigued and everything. I know I am mentioning this to my father, who is retired and loves to work with his hands. I don't think he's ever worked on a haunted house. You might have Jim Maloff come by there, because he's one of those guys that just loves a new challenge or something new to work on and everything, especially at his age.
Yeah.
And to all of you out there that are, whether you're retired or you just got a couple hours free here and there, keep that in mind as well. The ODC, it wants to work with you on your schedule to be able to make this fit for everybody.
Yeah, and what I will say is so many companies are going to VTO, volunteer time off. And so we really have gotten several businesses that have offered employees to come during their workday to get paid as a volunteer time off opportunity. So if you work for a company that offers that and you're interested, again, please reach out or connect with your company and see if it would be an opportunity.
That's a really strong point, Ann. That's a really good point.
The other thing I would mention is I don't consider myself to be creative, but the team that's working on this is very creative. And what I've told them is you give me the supplies, you give me the vision, I can use my hands and put it together, but don't ask me to come up with with the theme or what it's going to look like. So our team is really great on if you don't feel like you're that creative, but you're good with, you know, following instructions and have the everything that you need and just setting it up. That's what I'm doing. So there's something for everybody.
Really is. Is there a cutoff time, Anne, for volunteering in that as far as when we can, we'll stop looking for people or anything?
No, not really. There will be a link out. There's a link out there available for people to sign up. But we're going to start signing up or setting up, on October 13th. So we'll be, you know, looking for volunteers all the way through the 13th and then, you know, for a few days after the event. So there's lots of opportunity.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. With the clock ticking, sources tell CBS News the Justice Department is close to making a decision on whether to seek an indictment against President Trump's longtime nemesis, James Comey. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Comey has denied wrongdoing, but the president publicly demanded Comey's prosecution in a social media post earlier this month.
White House has ordered government agencies to come up with mass firing plans in case of a shutdown next week. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
Democrats do not support the partisan Republican spending bill because it continues to gut the health care of the American people.
Investigators in Dallas say they found anti-ICE language on bullets after a gunman killed a detainee outside a field office and left two others.